Parashas Mishpatim is the basis for much of what we know today as Chayish Mishpat, rules and regulations of interpersonal relationships between man and his friend, business-related issues, monetary-related issues, all very sticky issues. Whenever money comes into play, things always get slightly more complicated. That's the basis for what we know today as our judicial system, and Chayish Mishpat really all comes from this week's Parasha, last week's Parasha. And there's a couple of times that the Torah reiterates a very interesting idea, where the Torah reminds us, don't change the rules because you think that this is not morally correct. The Torah makes it an emphasis three places in this week's parasha where the Torah says don't fall for the trap of what we consider proper etiquette versus what exactly Hashem wants us to do. In the first place, we find this is in the beginning of the parasha. When the Torah is discussing those who kill and their punishment, the Torah says, if a person planned, he intended to kill him. He didn't like him. He wanted to take him out. Says the pasuk, from the mizbeach, you should take him to be killed. Rashi explains, this means, let's say the fellow who's the convicted murderer, he was a kohen. He's standing over the mizbeach. He's working in the Beis HaMikdash. So you'd say to yourself, come on, how do you take the guy like this and put him in handcuffs and bring him, take him away? How do you do that? Says the Torah, you have to do it. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, he says many people feel that you have to have rachmanis on such a person. He's a kohen. He's working in the Beis HaMikdash. He's a higher ranking member of society. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, such important words. He says having rachmanis with someone like him is achzorius for the rest of the world. That's called misplaced rachmanis. The Torah says you got to follow the rules. There's no exception. Maybe doesn't make sense logically because he's a kohen. He's better. He should have a different set of rules. Says the Torah, no, different set of rules. These are the rules for everyone. If he's guilty, he's got to be removed. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, having rachmanis for someone when you're not supposed to have rachmanis is really, it's achzorius to the rest of the world. And this is a problem that we as a nation had for a while. Baruch Hashem is getting much better now. Where we've had major issues and we brush everything under the carpet. Whether it be abuse, domestic abuse, others' abuses, we just don't want to deal with it. Says the Torah, you got to deal with it. You can't brush it under the carpet. You got to bring it and deal with it properly. You'll say, well, let's have a different set of rules for different people. Says the Torah, no. One set of rules for everyone. Everyone has to abide by the same rules. We find another idea later on where the Torah says, Loi sate mishpat avyon chaberivoy. Don't sway the judgment for the poor person. Can you imagine you have a court? A judge is sitting there judging of a very wealthy fellow. He's suing a very, very poor fellow. And the wealthy fellow, it's not going to make a difference whether he wins or he loses. This poor fellow, if he loses, that's it, he's done. So you say to yourself, come on, let's figure out a way to make the rich guy lose and the poor guy win. Says the Torah, no, loisata mishpat avyoincha. We're not allowed to do that. Maybe it makes sense morally, maybe even logically would make sense, says the Torah, that's not the way it works. Loisata mishpat avyoincha. We don't have the right to sway the judgment. We have to follow the rules. It's not about what makes sense to us. It's not about what's our logic or what society even thinks makes sense, says the Torah. We need to do what's right. They say a story with Rabbi Belsky was once on a Besdin with two other judges, and it was a similar case where a very wealthy person was suing a very poor person, and if the poor person would lose, it would really destroy him. And the evidence indicated that the wealthy guy is right, and he should win the court case, and the poor guy should lose and have to pay and be bankrupt. But Rabbi Belsky wasn't sure what to do, so he called up his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. He asked Rav Moshe, what should I do? Rav Moshe said, you got to follow the Torah. The Torah says, one who's guilty is guilty, one who's innocent is innocent. You got to do what's right. So Rabbi Belsky followed his Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, and he passed him the way he did. He said years later, he found the one who was guilty, the very, very poor person. He said he paid up all the debt, and he, Baruch Hashem, got back on his feet, and was a very successful businessman. Because it's not always about the way we understand things, morally, logically, emotionally. The Torah says these are the rules, and we gotta abide by them. Whether or not we understand it or we don't understand it, we agree or we don't agree, Parashat Mishpatim is not you decide as you see, it's as the Torah describes what proper etiquette is. And we find it one more place in the Torah. Later on in the parasha, the Torah discusses the mitzvah of Shabbos, and the Torah discusses the mitzvah of Shemitah, and in between, the Torah discusses the Yom Tovim. But there's one pasuk there that doesn't seem to fit. The Torah writes, and everything that I told you, you should keep. V'sheim elhim achirim lo yisas kiru. And the name of other gods you shouldn't mention. Lo yisham apicha, you should not hear what they say. So Rav Moshe Bick asks, what does this pasuk have anything to do with everything we've been talking about? We talk about Shemitah, Shabbos, a little break telling us don't listen to the goyim, and then we talk about Yom Tov. What's the connection? So he says, what's unique about Shabbos and Shemitah? They're two very difficult mitzvahs for any Jew to keep. Why? Because they all go against all logical business-related ideas. You tell a businessman, you're only going to work 6 days a week. And today it's a little bit easier. Amolis was the biggest assign for all American Jewry, was working on Shabbos. You tell any businessman who's trying to grow a business and make any panos, you tell him, well, you're going to work 6 days, not 7 days. They look like you're crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You tell any farmer, I'm taking off a year and I'm not working. These are foreign ideas for any non-Jew. So the Torah is telling us these two mitzvahs have unbelievable nisyanis to them. They're your money. When it comes to nisyanis, Tavis Amamim is very strong. On that, says the Torah, you're going to listen to the people around you. You're going to listen to what the goyim tell you to do. They're going to tell you, well, logically, this doesn't make any sense. You want to grow your business and you think working, taking off on Saturday, you're going to grow your business? You're foolish. Says the Torah, don't listen to them. Don't use their logic. Their logic is not what works. Follow my logic, the Torah. Don't do what everyone else says makes sense. Do what I say makes sense. Do what Hashem says. Do Ratzon in Hashem. And you will not lose out if you do the Ratzon Hashem, because Hashem controls the whole world. So here we see the same idea that Torah is repeating to us. Don't fall into the trap of saying, well, it doesn't make sense logically. Logically, I can't grow a business if I take off one day. I can't grow a field if I take off a year. You're right, it's not logic. But we as Jews are not bound by logic. We're bound by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do, both good and bad. We don't use logic to decide Chesh Mishpat, and we don't use logic to make our business decisions. We follow what Hashem says. Hashem says it's going to be good, it's going to be good. The problem is that we don't believe. We don't take the Torah seriously. The Torah says, if you do, you'll get. If you don't, you won't get. The Torah is very clear. The Torah promises us, if you do, you'll get. And if you won't, you won't. It's our chesaron and emunah that makes it difficult for us. The Torah is going out of its way to remind us, don't listen to the naysayers. What do they know? They have no shaychus to Shabbos. They have nothing to do with Torah. Don't listen to those people around you. And that's why the Torah says the same thing for a ger. Don't be mean to these people, because I will pay you back. I will punish you. We have to believe the Torah. The Torah says something, it's true. Whatever the Torah says is true, we just don't always believe it. Or we say we believe it, we don't feel it. That's really, I think, a very important lesson in Parashas Hashpatim. The Torah is reoccurring theme, so to say, in the parasha, is this realization of don't always use your own logic in what you think makes sense, both from a financial point of view, and from a Torah point of view. The Torah has a whole different attitude of how to look at things. And just one more ha'ara is interesting. When the Torah talks about loaning people money, the Torah talks about not using ribbis. So B'chaim Shulavitz points out, what's so bad about ribbis? What's so bad if you make a little money off the deal? Says B'chaim Shulavitz, because when a person lends with ribbis, he misses the entire idea of what chesed is. Chesed is, it's not about me for a second. It's about you. A person comes to me and says he needs money, and I give him money, it's because I'm concerned about him. When a person turns around and takes an interest off it, he's basically saying, this is really all about me. I'm using you to make money for me. It means I'm not focusing on you for a second. I am completely engrossed in my own self-interest. Says B'chaim Shulavitz, that's why the Torah is so repulsed by ribbis. He quotes Midrashim, unbelievable Midrashim, that say a person can do Averis and Malachim will come to defend him, Achamei Vesrim. If a person takes ribbis from another Jew, no Malach will go anywhere near him to defend him. Malachim don't want to hear about him. They'll say, what's so bad about ribbis? It's only a lav. I see a lot bigger avarice in the world. The answer, says B'chaim Shulavitz, because when a person takes ribbis, the statement he's making is, I can never think about anyone else except for myself. I am that selfish that even when I'm helping another person, it's only a way to make me wealthier. Says B'chaim Shulavitz, that's the chesaron. We have to learn that when it comes to doing chesed, it's about taking us out and focusing on the other person. It's not about me. We live our lives, but we are pretty focused about ourselves. I always tell us to Yeshiva Bachim are probably the most self-centered people in the world. Not in a bad way. Because when you're a yeshiva bachur, what else is on your mind? Your own personal growth. It's all about you. You're growing, whether it be in your learning or you're in your secular work. It's all about you. You have nothing else to worry about. You have no family. You don't have children and wives that you're responsible for. You're extremely self-centered. It's all about your own personal growth. How can I grow in learning and how can I excel in my studies? You're very self-centered. So the Torah is telling us we have to get out of that zone of focusing all about ourselves and think to ourselves, what about this fellow? It's all about him. It's not about me. How I'm going to make money. It's not about my money. It's about how I'm going to help this person. That's why Rashi says in that pasuk, Rashi says, look at him as if he, you're the Ani. Put yourself in his shoes. How would you feel? It's a horrible feeling to have to go asking people for money or asking people for loans. It's a lot easier being on the other side of the table writing the check. Someone told me just on Shabbos, an unbelievable word from Reb Shustel, from Lakewood. He said that the way it works in the world is that there's a balance between good and bad. When something good happens to a person, there's supposed to be an equal amount of ra that comes along with it. So he said, when you give tzedakah to an ani, because you, Baruch Hashem, have money, so the ani is fulfilling the ra that should come to you. Meaning you really should have a big loss, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it, instead of you taking the loss by giving money to the ani, he's fulfilling your role of bad in the world. So he's doing you the biggest favor in the world, this guy. This guy comes collecting, he's taking the ra that's supposed to happen to you, and he's accepting it. So it's not just that, oh, you're doing him a favor. He's doing you the favor. Unbelievable idea. I think he quotes from the Duv the Magid, such an idea. But that's really the lesson of the Torah. When it comes to doing chesed, we really have to take the us out of the equation. Many people, it's hard for us. We're very self-centered about ourselves. We're focused on our own growth. But we have to pull back a little bit and focus sometimes on the other person. And there's Reb Yaakov Breish at a Shalshudas Torah. He said something very powerful. He said, we talk about in the Torah about giving loans and things like that. He said, the greatest gift you can give someone is not money. Give them a job. This again, more negated to many of you here than me. Many times you have fellows that they don't want a handout. Don't give me money. Give me a job. Again, obviously, if they can do the work. He says, why are people not so forthcoming to give jobs to other people? So he says, it's because of Kayachiv Yotzimyadu. I worked my way up here. I wasn't just handed a job. I worked hard for my job. I should just give you starting level. You just straight out of yeshiva, out of college, give you a job. He says, if we realize it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the show over here, and we're just trying to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, so then we'd be more nachis. Instead of giving the guy a loan, instead of giving him money, instead of giving him chesed, give him a job. What do they say? You teach a man how to fish? He can eat for a lifetime. Give him the opportunity to feel like he's doing something. Instead of him feeling like a nebuch that he has to get tzedakah, let him feel like he's a gavra. He's making his own money. Again, obviously, if he's roy for it, I wouldn't take a guy straight out of college and make him a doctor. You have to be fit for it. But if a guy is taka fit for the job, and he wants to work, he writes, that's the bigger chesed than anything. This way, he feels like a human being. He feels like a mensch. He comes home at the end of the day, he felt like he earned his money. So therefore, that's the lesson, the overall theme of Parshas Mishpatim is the sensitivity that we have to money. There's also another theme, again, I don't want to be marching it because we don't have the time, where, as the Beis Halevi points out, that the smichos of Parshas Mishpatim to Parshas Yisrael is that Parshas Truma, I'm sorry, is all about giving donations. Parshas Mishpatim is all about Chesh Mishpat. Says the Beis Halevi, before you start making donations, you have to make sure it's your money. We live in a world today, everyone's living Robin Hood. You steal from the rich to give to the poor, and you get honored at a dinner somewhere. It's not correct. Says the Beis Halevi, you have no right to take someone else's money and give it away for donations. I logically, it makes so much sense emotionally. That's what we spoke about earlier. That's not the way the Torah works. You can't give away someone else's money, even to a worthy cause. There's no heter to steal to build a maisit. It's not true. The Beis Halevi says that's why the Torah puts the two together. My Rebbe says over all the time, he can't believe that any maisit at Torah can be built on Geneva. It's impossible. Whether it be from the government, whether it be from other people, it doesn't matter. That's not the way Kosh Baruch Hu wants it. Kosh Baruch Hu wants everything to be mishpat. That's the whole Parashat Mishpatim. It's just and mishpat. Kosh Baruch Hu wants honesty. Kosh Baruch Hu does not want you stealing from people to build maisit at Torah. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. This is a mistake that people make today, and I don't really know how they justify it, but that's why the Torah is so particular about every dollar that we have, and right next to the Torah gives us this parasha of Mitzuma. Don't make donations to money that's not yours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it. You think you're doing good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants money that's mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very machpid on mishpat. And that's why it says that Beis Halevi, the Torah puts the two parashas together to teach us this very, very, very valuable idea that before you start making promises and donations and gifts and things like that, make sure it's your money, not that you're donating someone else's money. Okay. We're holding over here in the last Shtikl Gemara before we start a new sugya. We were supposed to start a new sugya, but we just left off a little bit from last week. And we're really going to see a new Gemara, which is really going to bring us back like two blot. I've done this to my Talmidim in Yeshiva. The more you learn, the more you realize you have to really go back and learn everything again. So we're going to learn today that there was a Gemara that we learned 3 months ago on Daf Ayin Zayin, which we have to relearn again to see how it fits with everything we learned now. So we only go backwards here. This is, going forward doesn't exist. So the Gemara, just very bekitzer, I just want to wrap this up and really move on to a new sugya. The Gemara said by us on Ayin Chesem Beis, the end of the sugya was we spent a lot of time discussing a Mishnah. The Mishnah said if it gets closer to him, it gets closer to her, mechza mechza. We spent 3 pshatim in the Gemara, Rav, Eb Yochanan, and Shmuel. Shmuel was a pshat if you can reach down and pick it up. So we spoke a lot last week about what Shmuel coming to do. Is he arguing? That's not what I want for today. I want for today is the end of the Gemara. Shmuel came along with another big chumrah, and Shmuel said, he said that the real kariv law is if you can bend down and pick it up, but, however, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to accept any such get until the get gets to her hand. I don't want you to accept any of these kinyonim that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Nothing should work until the get gets to her hand. There was such a story where someone threw a get in one of these creative type of situations where the Isha was able to pick it up and get it. But, and still, they required chalitza because Shmuel held that the entire Mishnah that we spent so much time discussing is not negeya in the times of Shmuel. In the times of Shmuel, we're mevatel that takana, and you can only use a get that actually gets to the Isha's hand. Ad kan de gimbar. Okay, what I want to discuss today is Tosfos. When Shmuel said "V'atloy tovid uvda adamot degit liyodei," did he mean that every get must go to the Isha's hand in order for it to be chal? Even chatzar, What happens if you put the get in her? Would Shmuel come along and say, well, kinyan chatzar? No longer. We don't allow kinyan chatzar anymore. Although the Torah brought down kinyan chatzar. Again, it's brought down in the Torah. It's a Gemara. We dash in the beginning of the 8th parak. So the Gemara says that kinyan chatzar works. Shmuel's coming and saying, no, I'm not accepting kinyan chatzar for whatever reason. Is that what he meant? Or he just meant only those funny cases where we're talking about where the gets in Mishas Rabbim and she's bending down? Or no? Or maybe Shmuel was even rejecting Kinyan Chatzar. So Taisus has a machlokes about it. Taisus starts off, V'hainu davke b'Mishas Rabbim. Says Taisus, no, don't make any mistakes. Shmuel was only in Mishas Rabbim. Avol b'chatzera. If you put the get in her backyard, you put the get in her car, you put it in her purse, ain't tzarich shigia liyado. There's no din that the get needs to get to her hand. Why, says Taisus, I'm being Uriah. We had that Gemara, which Plinet will talk much more today. We had a Gemara that finds Zion Mabej, just very bekitzer, where the Gemara talked about a case where a husband had to get in his drawer, and it was Shabbos, and the wife needed to get divorced because he was on his deathbed, and they didn't want to have any Chalitza Shilohs or Yibam Shilohs, so they needed to get the divorce done. The problem is the get smoktza. They couldn't be metaltal the get. So what did they do? So they came to Rava, and Rava came up with this Ein file. Rava said, what you should do is let her go over, make a kinyan on the chatzar, and she'll be kind of the get through kinyan chatzar. That's the way most Rishayim learned. If you remember in that sugya, most Rishayim learned it was kinyan chatzar. Rashi, which Belineda will chazar again, learned it was kinyan agav. But most Rishayim and Taisus clearly assumed it was kinyan chatzar. So Taisus says, what do you help by kinyan chatzar? The halacha is, you just told me that according to Shmuel, the get needs to get to her hand. So if taka, the get needs to get to her hand, it doesn't even help anything by making a kinyan chatzar. Elamai says Taisus, you see from that gemara, that kinyan chatzar is different. Kinyan chatzar does not require Ashagia get liyad, because kinyan chatzar is an independent kinyan. It's a real kinyan, as opposed to these kinyanim in the Mishnah, which were all takonas chazal. Okay.
That's not such a right.
Why?
Number one, Rav could argue.
That's true.
Number two, maybe it's just a harasha. Is it a special circumstance?
Now what? That they didn't.
It was Shabbos, the guy was dying, and his brother, you know, his brother is a bum, didn't want
over. Right? Yeah.
We'll
talk about it today, hopefully.
So it was a special circumstance. That's not a riot, it doesn't mean in all cases.
Okay, fair. We're going to see that this Gemara is highly debated by many, but the simple reading of the Gemara would be a right. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Tzais points out, this is one of the reasons why Rashi learned Kinyan Agav. Because if Rashi would have disagreed with this premise, Rashi would have to relearn the Gemara. And since we'll see later on, possibly Rashi disagrees, that's why Rashi learned it was Kinyan Agav. But this is the riot that Tzais brings. However, says Tosfos, Umi ba'oruch be'erech get kosav kabbalah me'rabbeinu. The Oruch writes, we have a Kabbalah from our Rabbeim. Unbelievable chiddush. Afilu zorku lo b'toy chatzeri lo mishtri la'alma adamote gitol yode. A huge chiddush. That even if I were to throw again, we've been learning about kinyan chatzar for forever here. And we're always under the impression that kinyan chatzar is the legitimate way to make a gerushin. Says the Oruch, no, it's not. Since the times of Shmuel, it's no longer the way to make a kinyan chatzar. If you throw the get into a chatzar, she's not mutal alma. She's not allowed to remarry another fellow until the get gets to her hand.
It's not even a suffix.
That we're going to get to. We're going to talk about. What does it do? What does it accomplish? Okay. Says Taisvis, where does he get this from? Umaisi mi'ada oma b'yushalmi. And the Oroch got it from a Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? Hamachme shebekulon achitnenu liyodo. It says in the Yerushalmi that if you want to be machme, now there's different nuschos in the Yerushalmi. The other nusach we have is hamechaver, the correct way of doing things, is until the get gets to her hand. So says the Oroch, I have a Yerushalmi. So we say, very nice, you have a Yerushalmi, I have a Bavli. Well, we have a Bavli and a Fayin Zayin that says you don't need achigil get liyode. So Taisu says you don't even have a Yerushalmi. Says Taisu the ain't a raya. I don't think it's even a raya from the Yerushalmi. The Ekalameima Demayu Bishas Rabbim. I can always tell you that Yerushalmi that says the get needs to get to her hand wasn't talking about a case where you threw the get into her backyard. The Yerushalmi was commenting on a case where you threw it into a Bishas Rabbim, and you're using one of these creative kinyanim that we've been speaking about for so long. On that, the Yerushalmi says, don't use that. But a real legitimate kinyan chatzar, which is a kinyan da'iraisa. So Taisus concludes, he sees no compelling argument from the Yerushalmi, plus the fact that the Bavli is clear, Taisus basically rejects it. We mentioned last week that
Bechulon would mean there's some context.
That yeah, if you look in the Yerushalmi, he's talking about Kar of Law cases.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty clear from the Yerushalmi that he was going on those cases. Like he says, to behead your Masik La Kar of a Kar of Law. That's exactly what the Yerushalmi was talking about. Probably wasn't coming to exclude Chatz. We mentioned that the Rishayim quote Rabbeinu Chananel, who taka holds halacha l'maisla. This Rabbeinu Chananel holds that you're not megureshes if you throw the get into an isha's chatzar. Halacha l'maisla. Rabbeinu Chananel holds that if you were to go over to a lady and put the get in her backyard, her purse, her bag, anything like that, she's not megureshes l'gamri. The Tor rejected it, the Rush rejected it, but we mentioned last week the Ramon passes la halacha like that. Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes from a Mordechai that you taka shouldn't be megureshes l'gamri with such a case. Okay. The Ramban, okay, in Lomdis, there's what to talk about, even the Halach Lomais is what to talk about, but let's just very bekitzer. The Ramban tries to defend the Gemara. And we had the Gemara said that Rava told them, go over and make Kinyan Chatzar. And by making Kinyan Chatzar, the get worked. Kinyan Chatzar doesn't help, you still need to get, actually get Liyode. So the Ramban comes up with an interesting Chat. Says the Ramban, number three, Ahud Shchiv Meira B'Reish Pirkin, maybe that Gemara that we quote in the beginning of the parak, which was the case of the Shchiv Meira, the Havestrich Chalitz Maror L'Betekantam. He wants to say, maybe even Rava, who gave the advice to use Kinyan Chatzar, Rava knew deep down in his head that this is not going to make her Mutal Alma. This get that I'm using Kinyan Chatzar for will not permit her to live with another man. All it will do is, now, instead of needing Yibam, she'll need Chalitza. Why? Because Rava knew that Shmuel's correct, that you're not allowed to have a real get unless it gets to her hand, even if it's a Chatzar. So he just did this to not make someone have to do Yibam, either to have pity on her, his wife, or pity on her brother. I don't know who he liked better.
Abishol already outlawed.
In the times of Rava, they weren't doing Chalitza. Is that true?
They weren't
doing Yibam. So says the Ramban. So says the Ramban. Maybe the purpose of Rava's rendering was now they had to do chalitza, meaning avada, just to exempt him is meaningless. But maybe says the Ramban, what the chap was that Rava knew that a get in a chatzah without getting into her hand is not a get. Doesn't make divorce. What does it make? It makes now that the only way this woman can be freed is with a ma'isa chalitza. Putting your question aside for a second. That's what the Ramban says. So he has a good time. Says the Ramban, maybe there's really no right from the Bavli. Maybe even the Bavli agrees. In the case of Rava, you threw the get into the chatzar, and she was kind of asking your chatzar, she wouldn't be mutter to marry another man right now. She'd have to wait until the get gets actually to her hand. So says the Avnei Meluim, what does Taisus do to the taina of the Ramban? It's a good taina. Says the Avnei Meluim, a gavaldik echab. He writes, what would happen in the world of Rabbeinu Hanan? Rabbeinu Hanan's world, where you throw the get into her chatzar, she's not divorced. What status does she have? She's what he calls migureshes vein migureshes. She's divorced and not divorced. Says the Avnei Meluim, I wonder, who has Kinyan Peiros in such a case? She's divorced and not divorced. So we know that when a husband's married to his wife, he has what's called Kinyan Peiros. Whatever land she owns, he has the rights to the Peiros. Who would own the rights in such a migureshes vein migureshes situation? Well, again, it's not a suffix. It's like the Chazanish is vaday, not sure what to do. It's not like we don't know what the status. So the Avnei Meluim says it's machlokes rishonim. So he says a gavaldik thing. Says number four, the Avnei Meluim says a kvarker savnul elsim and ayin chesav kanal shekeni das toisvus. Toisvus opinion is to choshu ena megureshes is gerei rishon gemurin. Whenever you have a situation of a non-complete get or a suffix, not suffix, but megureshes ein megureshes, yesh lebal peiros. The husband gets the peiros. That's the halach. Therefore, says the Avnei Meluim, Toisus l'shitasoi couldn't have learned the Gemara and Daf Ayin Zayin like the Ramban. If he would have learned the Gemara and Ayin Zayin like the Ramban, that the Baal is suffic, is Megureshes, and Megureshes, the Baal would still have Kinyan Peiros. If he'd have still have Kinyan Peiros, he wouldn't be able to use Kinyan Chatzar. You wouldn't be able to say, Git Neviyad and Boyin Ke'echad. He owns the Chatzar still. So therefore, says the Avnei Meluim, Toisus l'shitasoi couldn't have answered like the Ramban that she'd be in a status of suffic. Because if she'd be in a status of suffic, nothing would work. However, says the Ramban, Rabbeinu Chananel l'shitasoi holds, when you have a Sufi Gerishin, the husband has no Kinyan Peiros. So if the husband has no Kinyan Peiros, the get could have been Chab. Very Kishmak Achab, Favnam Nemiluim, to explain the Machloik of Taisvus and the Ramban. Okay, that's really last week's share. Let's move on. So let's see the new sugya, which will really bring us back to the sugya that we just talked about 2 seconds ago. Zarkti Gemara number 5, Omer of Chizda. Get biyodai u'meshicha biyodai. Let's say you have a case, the husband gives the wife a get, and there's a string attached to the get. And the husband's holding on to the string. It's a simple reading of the Gemara. Get biyada umeshicha biyadai. The get's in her hand, but the string is in his hand. Now everyone translates this Gemara that there's a little string, and he's holding the string, and he, you know, as like a wire, he's holding it, and he can pull the get back. Says the Gemara, im yochel natka ilevi etzloi, if he can pull it back, he's stronger than her, and he can yank the string, and forcibly get the get out of her possession, ain't a megureshes. Then there's no get. Vimlav, the husband's not that strong, or she's stronger than him, however you want to look at it, then migureshes. Then they are divorced. Unique halach, yeah.
So because, even though it's b'yada, because he's connected to
her. Okay. Now we got to figure this all out. This is the statement of Reb Chisda.
Right?
Yeah. This is a statement we talked a lot about, and we mentioned this svara, but now we really have to attack it and see how the Gemara discusses it. Says the Gemara, my time up. What's the reason for this whole halacha? Be'inon krisos vileka. You need to be severed, and you're not. Very, very vague, an extremely unclear piece of Gemara, in my opinion. This is the whole Gemara. The whole Agud Gabay that everyone talks about in Gerushin is two lines in the Gemara which are so vague to me. No clarity whatsoever. What exactly is the Chasaron? Again, what are the words of the Gemara? You need to be krisus veleka. What does it mean you need to be krisus? It means the husband and wife are not allowed to talk to each other. They're not allowed to go to the same coffee shop. They need to be severed. What needs to be severed? Let's go back to the pasuk. What does it say in the Torah? The nasan biyaday sefer krisus. That's the whole pasuk. You put in her hand a paper that severs them. Okay, they're severed. They're not talking to each other. They have nothing to do with each other. But says the Gemara, from the fact that the get is still a piece in his rishos, that presents a problem of krisus. How is one supposed to understand this Gemara?
We see what we talked about before about control.
Control of what?
The control of the get, in this case.
That has to equal krisus.
What?
Okay, the Gemara says you're not severed. We're very much severed. I don't want to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk
to
me.
So the question is it an issue of what? Is it biyada, right? Or is it in her rishus?
Okay, she's holding the get.
I know, but he's still connected to it, so that may be that there's no, it's not biyada at all.
So let's talk about
versus.
So let's just talk in Hilchas Kinyan, for example. If I would, we'll see in a second, the Gemara is going to talk about it in Baal Metzia. Let's say, for example, I'd give you a gift, and then I do the same thing. I'll give you the gift with a string holding on to it.
But the point of a Kinyan is you have to show dominance over it.
Okay.
If somebody else is still holding on to it,
right.
There's no dominance.
So again, you're telling me if I were to give you a gift, this chumash, and I'd be holding on to this blue string in a way that I'd be able to pull the blue string and get the safer away, you wouldn't be kinyan in Hilchas Kinyan?
I mean, I could see why you would say not. As long as I don't have complete rights.
So that's the question.
It doesn't say safer creases by.
Right, it says safer creases only by Gerushin. Now, there's two ways one can learn the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's a Gerushin problem because of creases, like the Gemara says. No one would think that there's a problem in the Vinasan. Maybe the problem is I didn't give a proper giving. Giving means without any attachment to it. Now, then the pasuk brought, then the Gemara brought the wrong pasuk. It's not the krisus binon, it's the nasan binon veleka, right? But again, the krisus is not our physical. The krisus is on our relationship. This sefer is supposed to separate us, and we're very separated. You know, it's like saying if we have something that we both like to do, then we're not separated because we share a hobby. No, that doesn't have to do with anything. The Torah is said, give the isha a sefer krisus. The sefer is supposed to separate us. So the fact that we still have something that joins us is a problem. Again, the safer. They're chosen together, right?
No, you know. The plus is safer. Croesus is modifying the word safer. So if there's a get with a string attached to it,
okay. In the safer. So is that a chasaron in the Nesina?
No.
What's the chasaron? So we'll see it's a machlokes. We'll see it's a machlokes. We're showing. Okay, good. Now, the simple reading of I just want to point this out. The simple reading of our Gemara by us over here does not imply it's a Nesina issue. It's a Croesus issue, which again is two chidushim. Chidush number one. Is let's say after the husband gives her the get, he's holding on to the string. And then he just gets tired and he leaves go of the string. Would he have to make a new ma'is in the Sina? Or would he say that the first ma'is in the Sina was kosher? There was a technical problem, they were continuously connected. You sever that, we're good to go.
How about that? Yeah, dropping the string.
Maybe. Anachnami. I want to know what the halach would be. Halach ma'isa. If after he gives it, he drops the string, would you have to give the get again? Or would it be sufficient just to say, well, I gave the get the first time, I had another problem called creases, I removed creases, so that's also a machloekis rishayin, which is probably tali in this chakir. Probably, not necessarily for sure, but probably. Now, this Gemara by us in Gittin doesn't say anything about the Nasa. If you look in Rashi number 6, it's on top of the Gemara, Rashi writes, U'meshicha chut shahaget kosher ba. What's a meshicha? It's a string that the get's tied to it. Get biyada zagrashi shenoistim law v'roish hamashicha adayim biyadoi. Again, he gives her the get, and the top of the string he's still holding on to. Okay, so this gemara to me is very, very vague. There's another very important gemara in Bava Metzia daf Zayin Amud Beis. The gemara over there is talking about kinyan sudr, kinyan chalipin. But the gemara discusses how does kinyan chalipin work. I give you a handkerchief, you make a kinyan on the handkerchief, and then you're makdim me something else. That's basically. We spoke about Kinyan Sudra a lot here also, but that's basically how it works. I want to buy something from you, or you want to gift me something, I'll give you a handkerchief, you make a Kinyan on the handkerchief, and somehow magically through that Kinyan on the handkerchief, you'll be makting me thousands of dollars worth of stuff that you have. Okay. Zagti Gemara Bamitsiya. Hi Sudra. This sheet, given the toughest base shalosh al shalosh, as long as he's holding on to it at least 3x3 of enough of the pay, he's holding on to at least 3x3 of the sheet. Kirinam bei v'nasan l'riyeh. We call it as if it was v'nasan l'riyeh. By chalipin, the Torah, the Navi writes v'nasan l'riyeh. You have to give the sheet to your friend. So says the Gemara, if I'm holding on to 3x3 of the sheet, I got my hands on it, I got something on it, that's enough to be saying that you gave it to me, even though you're holding on to the other side. So when I give the sheet to my friend, he grabs half and I grab half. We'll see in a second in Rashi what it means. Shalashat's boys. We'll see in a second. But that's good enough. So Rashi, let's see, very important Rashi over in Bamatsia. So Rashi, keeping the toughest bay, Makne, if the Makne, the one who's going to be giving over the object, he's holding on to Shalish al Shalish, 3x3. Queen and Bay, the Shalish ish Nal of a Noslemiyev. That's called.
Receiving the Suda by giving over the other
Suda. That's right. That's considered as if you gave me the Suda, and therefore I can now be Makne you all my other stuff. Okay, good, good. That's what we're going to have to talk about. Zot Gemara, to command the Pasuk Dami, the Kanye Makne. Now the Makne who wants to buy something is going to be Kane. Vahamecha Nikne Boy Lelekeach. But Dafka Nokut Shalosh Shalosh, the Kli Bina, it has to be 3x3, Shalosh Shalosh Bois, it needs to be a Kli. So what's going to happen over here? I want to give you something. You give me the sheet. I have 3 fingers by 3 fingers on the sheet. That's enough to say you gave me the sheet, and now everything becomes yours. That's our Kenyan Sador.
The sheet never really changes.
Ah, it doesn't change hands. Zok the Gemara, but Kivon, the commander Poske Dami. The way we look at it is as if we take this and we split it in the middle. We say the 3 that you're holding cuts off right here, so you're holding it, and the fact that I'm holding the other hand is irrelevant. Command the poskedom. We split the paper in the middle.
It's a separate
piece of paper.
Comparison fair because it's about korchu by
a gap. One second. So we stopped too early. Frank the Gemara. Umayish namad Rav Chisda. Says the Gemara. 1 second. How could this work and Rav Chisda's din doesn't work? Why is this any different than Rav Chisda? What was Rav Chisda? The Amar Rav Chisda. Get biyado mashicha biyadoi. If you give a get where the husband's holding onto a string, if he's able to pull back, then at the voice of him, lab migreshes. So the Gemara assumes that this case in Bab Metzia has something to do with Rav Chisda. What does it have to do with Rav Chisda? So Rashi says right away, Eidem Gereshis, is Al Molav Nesinehi. You see that if I give you a get, and you're holding on, I'm holding on to part of it, that's not a Mais Nesina.
You have to give this sheet. You're not giving over the sheet, you're giving over the other
part. No, but the Torah says you got to give over the sheet. It says, V'shalav Ishnaloi, V'nos on the Re'eu. Yeah, that's a different. That's machlokes the Gemara. If you can give it back afterwards, but you have to make a mice in the sina on the sheet in order to make kinyan chalip. So if the Gemara's kash is, if I see from Baba Metzia that holding onto a sheet with two people is considered giving, so why is giving again holding onto it not considered giving? So the Gemara's kash is, it's not a mice in the sina. So what do you see from the Gemara that the Gemara understood our Gemara in Gittin? Yeah, it's a chsar in the sina. What's the Gemara's answer? Hasam krisas beinam veleka, hacha nesina beinam vehoika. That's the Gemara's goofy answer. Most of you don't understand the Gemara Gittin. The Gemara Gittin is not an Asina issue. The Gemara Gittin is a Krisis issue. In Hilchas Nesina, wherever you need a Mais Nesina, no question, this is called a Mais Nesina. But by Gerush, it's not just about a Mais Nesina. There has to be some form of a separation, a detachment. That you don't have by Gerush. So what the Gemara seems to be telling us is...
Why don't you have it?
Because the husband's still touching the get, or attached to the get, which we need. Okay, that's what we still need to talk about. All I proved from this Gemara about Metzia was Pshat and our Gemara is clearly not about Nesina. That was the Havamina. The Gemara's Teretz was, it's about Krisis. Now, I'll change that in 2 minutes, but for now, at least, it sounds like that's the way you'd read the Gemara. There's a Rashi over here. Believe that we will need to come back to this Gemara and talk much more about it, because there's a very big Shver Rambam over here that everyone talks about. But I just want to talk about the Rashi in number 8. Rashi writes, Krisis. What does Krisis mean? Rashi is explaining our Gemara. That our Gemara says that the reason why get biyado, mashicha biyado is no good, because it's not Krisis. So when we learned Gittin, we didn't know what this meant, because Rashi didn't say anything over there. So here in Rashi Bamatsiya says some words. So Rashi, havdala, there needs to be a separation. Shiyu muvdolim zemizeh. That they're separated from each other. Very agudim hein b'chutzeh. And they're connected through the string. What does that mean? They're connected through this. They're also connected through the kids that they have, or the debt that they incurred together. What does that mean?
Because the safer creases that legally separates them halachically, right?
Yeah.
Has to be completely in her possession through a mites and a sina. If he's still holding on to it. It's like all those other cases where he's on the das of the husband, right?
One second. Rashi's words over there, they're bound, they're connected by the string. So why is that a problem? Because the
sefer krisis, which is the husband's intent to separate himself from her, right? This is all him doing what he did to her. She doesn't have to consent, right?
Right.
So he has to show that he wants to separate from her. How does he show it? By putting a sefer krisis in her hand.
Right.
If he's still holding on to the sefer krisis, He hasn't shown it.
He's still holding on to her.
You want,
he's still holding on to her.
So what's that?
Why isn't that in the scene?
Yeah.
I still say it isn't.
Oh, sorry?
The instrument he's using to affect the divorce is actually connecting them. So that...
But again, the problem that I have with is that I think we're taking the safer creases of the Torah beyond what the Torah said.
No, children have nothing to do with divorce. Yeah,
exactly. But again, it's the doctrine.
But again, but my question on Rashi is, what does Rashi mean by the string? That's not the point.
It's not a Havdalah.
But why the string? What's the emphasis on the string?
That connects to the husband.
That connects.
That is a chesaret in her own.
Because he's holding on to the string. Because they jointly own the string. That's the point?
Because he hasn't fully given to
him. So I found the Sefer Minchas Rifal. Michael, who wrote Minchas Rifal?
Rebbe Fall Shmulevitz.
Not close. Nachum's son. Nachum Bartovich's son. Rebbe Fall Bartovich. Eichet Amir. He's Eichet Amir. He's a cousin. He's Eichet Amir. So he has a whole piece on this Gemara, and he talks about this Rashi. He writes.
I actually learned with them.
He writes in number 8b. He talks about this Rashi. He wants to know, what does Rashi mean that they're connected by the string? That's not the point. So he says, V'hainu, the mishum sheyachol natek haged haydei chodzeh. The point is not the string. The point is that he can pull the string. The mere fact that they're holding jointly a string is irrelevant. The point is that he can pull the string. Therefore, he's really connected to the actual get. Why? If he'd be holding onto a string, let's say he gives a get like this, in a way, he happens to be holding onto the corner of the paper, but his holding has no power in pulling it back. They're still connected. What do you mean? She's walking around with him and they're walking around with the get together.
Very thin string that doesn't count.
Right. 100%. If it's not Yochel and Avka, that's the words of the Gemara.
Say that Krisis was written like on a stone tablet or something.
Right.
Weighs 10 pounds. And he's got a little string. He can't pull that.
100%. So then it wouldn't be. Okay. The point is not that I'm touching, that I'm connected to the get. The point is that I have the bilis. He says, The point is that I can pull it back at any minute. It's as if I'm holding on. Oh, so this sounds like to me, is not felt in the Nesina. Right? This sounds like I never gave you something. Okay.
But he didn't.
True.
But he didn't.
No, I'm saying exactly. The mere fact that the husband can, no one said he did. He loved to have to pull the string back, but he could. The mere fact that he has the ability to pull the string back, says the Gemara, makes it no good. Question is why?
I mean, most
we don't know.
Normal case are stronger than women. He could also give it to her and pull it right back.
Right. Oh, sorry about that. So what's the fact that the husband could also jump and just pull it back? The answer is so that. But that would, I would say the difference between that is that was still a good Nesina and then something happened afterwards. If when I made the Nesina, it was in a way that I never really gave it to you, so then that was a lack in the Nesina. Okay, well.
So in your muscle with the slumish, you grab the I can't pull it out.
So that would be a good guess. That's what the Gemara, that's the words of the Gemara. The Gemara's words are, im yochel natko levi etzloi, if you're able to pull it back. We'll see in Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, they talk about it. In cases where you can't pull it back, so then that's it. If you can't pull it back.
So a weak husband, a strong husband.
That's it. That wouldn't make a difference, yeah. The pshat in the Gemara over here is the ability to pull the get out. Now, we'll have to talk much more about the significance of the get in her hand and things like that, but that's easy from the Gemara. So again, Pashat Pshat in the Gemara. Pashat simple reading the Gemara in Bar Metzia would lead us to believe that this is not a chasar in a Nesina, but instead it's a chasar in increases. There's a famous chakir that many Achareinim talk about.
The das in it, in other words, the fact that I'm still retaining it shows that I haven't, you know, it's almost like making a conditional.
And no one seems to make that argument. No one seems to think that the husband didn't want to really give the get and he's having cold feet. They're just assuming that he's trying to give a get and either be very lumdish or very foolish. I'm not sure which one. But no one thinks to believe. Or is he just a bad person. Probably that also. No one seems to think that there's a question over here in whether or not he wants to give the get. He wants to give the get, he just. Whatever he's doing, either he's trying to express more control and power, or he thinks he's a lom de shagai, I'm not sure which one, but that's what he's trying to do over here.
One of the reasons she wants to get divorced.
Probably. So there's a chakir over here that everyone talks about. Reb Chaim also talks about this. Is that they taina that maybe we misread the Gemara in Bar Metzia. There might be another way to read the Gemara in Bar Metzia. The simple way of reading the Gemara in Bar Metzia is very clear. That the chasaron over here is not nesina, the chasaron increases. That's, I think, the way anyone would read the Gemara. So if you look over here, number 9, the Sefer Teresh Shmuel, he's a contemporary, I think he's a Reish Chabur in Lakewood. He wrote a lot on the Prakim that they don't learn in yeshiva. Right? Most yeshivas don't learn the 8th parak of Gittin or the 9th parak of Gittin. That's more like a second Seder. Very few people say Sharon it. So he wrote on those Prakim that most people don't learn Be'in. So he tells like this, Yesh La'ayim, im achshav, ha'chasaron hu rach medin krisis, How do you learn the Gemara? Is the pshat really that it's just a chesed problem? There's nothing wrong with the nesina, which is the way I think the Gemara about Mitzvah sounds like. No. The chesed megalalon the beinan kan nesina gemura ushaloi tishar etzloi. Maybe no. Maybe the Gemara is telling us a different thing. The Gemara is saying v'leka hacha nesina beina v'ha'ika. The Gemara is telling us something different. Regular nesina, this suffices to be a regular nesina. But gerushin nesina is at a higher level. Since the Torah wants to accomplish a krisus, so the nesina has to be a whole different type of a nesina. The way you make a nesina for gerushin has to be in a way where the nesina itself creates a krisus. Meaning, if I just need to give you something in a chesed mishpat setting, so this is called giving, because command the pasuk, command the, right, even though you can pull it back, that the Gemara says is considered giving. However, when it comes to gerushin, it's a whole set of rules, different set of rules. The rules are the giving needs to be in a way where we're severed. Krisus is megale, and how to do the vinasan. That's the other way to learn the Gemara. That the krisus tells me that when it comes to gerushin, the hakavodas ha'tayra is a different level of nesina. You have to make a different type of nesina in a way where we're not connected. Which means, according to that, the Gemara is still working with the premise that it's a chasarin and a nesina. Okay. That's the hakira.
I mean, I want to say the comparison to kinyan, because by kinyan, grabbing onto the shemata is not, that's not what you're acquiring the shemata.
100%. But that's what the Torah, but that's what the pasuk calls v'nasan ish l're'eu. That the pasuk in Navi calls a nesina, at least according to the Gemara. So if that's called a nesina, so this should be called.
How do you think one has to do with the other?
Okay, so we need to talk more about Blina next week, because this line in the Gemara, command the pasuk kedami. What do these words mean? It's if you cut the paper in half. It's a.
You can give a real present. If you hold on to it and they can't take it out of your hands, that's a good kinyan.
Well, it's really that's in their hands and they can pull it back. I give you the gift.
You hold it, but I'm not letting go. You can't take it away from me. That's a good thing.
So that's what we need to talk about. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Mechira, where the Rambam talks about something along these lines in the type of a sale, which gets a little bit more complicated. You're right. Here we're talking about Chalipin. Here we're talking about Get. What would happen in the regular Chosh Mishpat world? So Belin Edda, we'll have to talk more about this Rambam.
So I want to give you this chair.
So I give you a handkerchief.
All right.
You're kind of the handkerchief.
You're still holding on to it.
No, so normally I just give it to you and I leave go. Right. So the Gemara's talking about, if I were to give it to you and still be holding on to part of it, right, as long as you have 3x3 fingers holding on to it,
right,
that's good enough to say, I gave it to you, now the chair becomes mine.
So the Gemara says, even if you're holding it, right?
I'm holding on to it. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? That giving is okay even if I'm holding on to it. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So then if that's true, why does the Gemara say, I can't give a get if I'm holding on to the get? So the Gemara answers, no, because get's different because krisus. So there's two ways to learn the Gemara. Either the Gemara means because by get, there's a separate problem called krisus and not a problem in nesina, or the Gemara means that by get, because of krisus, you need to have a higher level of nesina.
Well, maybe because by the Chalipin case, maybe because the person who's giving,
mm-hmm,
the machnet, doesn't want there to be any mistake that he's actually parting with his rights to the handkerchief.
Well, that's a machlokes in the Gemara.
Showing...
That's a machlokes in the Gemara in the Darim. Do you retain ownership of the handkerchief, or can you give it back? It's machlokes in the Gemara. Whether or not, who will end up with the handkerchief after this is all done?
I would think the machlokes.
So the assumption
that he's only giving him the property.
So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara has two shitas in the Gemara about who gets to own it at the end of the day. But all we want from this Gemara is the nesina part. That when I give you a handkerchief, you're holding on to half of it, it's as if I gave you the handkerchief. That's all. So the Gemara says, oh, let's put that back to Gerushin. If I give a get holding on to it, so that should be called vinasan as well. That's what we're holding right now.
Does anyone be mechalak that there's a difference between the two? Very, very simple, because by the get, that's the item itself that makes you separate. That's what does the kinyan. And it's just the manifestation.
But again,
the chair or the table.
But we're focusing on the vinasan. The Torah says that the Navi says by.
Yeah, but in other words, you can't physically do the chair, so fine. Therefore it makes a difference.
Right, but the pasuk in Navi says that you have to vinasan shalav vinasan l'reyu. I have to give this to you.
Right.
So is this called giving? No. So if you tell me that this is called giving, so it should be vinasan for gerushin also.
Even though it's only representative of the chair of the
table. Just
by the other thing,
true,
is the actual item.
Right, but we're trying to fulfill the Torah as vinasan. We're trying to say, when the Torah says give it, what does the Torah mean? So this is the chakira. So I think the simple nafkimina in this chakira would be, what happens if you give the get with the string, and you're able to pull it back, and then 10 minutes later, you drop the string and you walk away. Would the get be chal right now? Or would you have to make another ma'is in the scene? So if you look in the Rambam, in number 10, the Rambam seems to be very clear to how he understood this halach. Zok the Rambam, in Hilchas Gerushin Perikei, Zorek HaGet Liyodo, you throw the get to her hand, V'ayukosher b'meshicha, and it was wrapped with a string, the Ktsas HaMeshicha B'yodo, and part of the string is in his hand, Im Yochol Anatkoi Ulevi Etzlo, if he's able to pull it and bring the entire get to him, Enu Megureshes, Ad Shetafsek HaMeshicha, that They're not divorced until the string breaks. What do you see from the Rambam? Is that once the string breaks, they're automatically divorced. We were given the Sina. You didn't have a Maisa in the Sina. So I would have believed that the Rambam was of the opinion that there was never a problem with the Maisa in the Sina. The Maisa in the Sina was a fine in the Sina because the Gemara B'Metzia says this is Vinasa. I had a Krisus problem. So once we separate the Krisus, we took that problem away, everything is fine. I don't think it's Lamafreya. It doesn't mean it's Lamafreya. It's
why
not Lamafreya.
You just hold it at the moment of the break. That because maybe, it's maybe, delayed long.
Maybe. We'll see that in a second. Maybe. Minute, maybe. No. I find that a little harder to believe because you made an improper, you know, if you, according to that pshat, you made an improper Nesina.
You didn't do anything until you dropped the string.
No. But where's the Nesina? That's like the get. That's not a Nesina. That takes us back to the old question of, are there other ways to fulfill Vinasan besides for the regular way of Vinasan? Like through Kinyonim. If I'm makne her to get, right, would that be called Vinasan? I didn't give her anything. I just gave her permission to walk over and get it, right? Simply speaking, that's not giving. What did I give her? I didn't give her anything. The Nesina that I made was faulty. So if you learn, like I want to say, that the Nesina was fine, you were Mekayim V'Nasan, make a check. But you had another problem, you were still attached at the hip. So we severed that. Good. So now we have V'Nasan, now we have no creases, now we're good to go.
What's the luck if you put it in her purse, but she didn't own the purse, but then she buys the purse?
That wouldn't be good.
In other words, she
right, got, right. That wouldn't work. Right. That wouldn't work.
It has to be hers.
That's right. That has to be hers, right? We'll come back to that also a little bit today. Yeah, we're going to come back to that.
But maybe the creases and the Nesina has to be the same.
That's the counter-argument I think one can make. If you look in Shulchan Aruch in 11b, the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, Nasana get liyadoi v'nisha achut shu kasher by biyadoi. You give the get to her, you hold on to the string. Im ha-kesher omits, if it's a tight, achiyachol natkoi levietzlo, he's able to pull it back, enu megureshes. See how he writes differently than the Rambam. He doesn't say enu megureshes, acha breaks the string. He just writes enu megureshes, period. V'imlav megureshes. End of statement. So points out the Beis Shmuel over here. The Taz also writes this, just the Taz is so small on Ebenezer, it's very hard to photocopy it. And that's what they say, that's one of the rayas that we don't pass on like the Taz, because on Ebenezer, he's not even on the side. He's all the way on the bottom. Very hard to read the Taz on the bottom.
So the publisher
decided, like, the way the story goes, the way the story goes, that the Taz got a punishment for not letting the Shach print the Sefer.
So that was
the Taz got the way of salvation, he used to say over from his grandfather, the Taz got punished. That's why we don't pass him like him, but even when he's written and when he's in the other places, he really makes it to the side of the column. That's the way the story goes. Not everyone agrees to the story, but the Rav Soloveitchik used to say over many times he believes that that's the way he heard it from his grandfather. But it's true, we very rarely pass him like Taz. You can count on your hand and how many times you pass him like a Taz in your day, how many times you pass him like a Taz in our Chaim. Very, very rarely. So, okay, fine. The one everyone should know of, the famous Taz that we all use, is Negeit the Sherry Cask. It's an important Taz. Everyone uses that to be Mekel, or Moshe has a Tshuva. We're based on that Tshuva, we're Mekel with Sherry Cask. It's all based on a Taz. So everyone should be grateful for that Taz. So for that, okay, fine. Fine, okay. So talk to Beis Shmuel over here. So Beis Shmuel writes this. He writes, the Rambam writes, which we just saw, Eino Megureshes Asher Tafsik HaMashicha Mashma. So the Beis Shmuel makes the dig, which I think anyone would make in the Rambam. Da'oz he Megureshes. It sounds like from the Rambam that you wouldn't need a new Maisa Nesina. Once the rope breaks, they're good to go. Says the Beis Shmuel, V'loi Mashma came Mishara Poiskim. I don't think everyone else agrees to that. Again, the Shulchan Aruch seems not to agree to that either. So why not? Zok the Beis Shmuel El Kivan Da HaMashicha B'yadoi B'Eis HaNesina. Why wouldn't you agree with that, says the Beis Shmuel? Why is that logic not so convincing? Says the Beis Shmuel, because since the string was there at the time of the giving, Einu Megureshet Afilo Acha Shetafsik HaMashicha, they still can't be divorced even after the string breaks. Now, let's stop before we get to his reasoning. What would the reason be? So I would suggest the reason is because you didn't have a good Maisa Nesina. If you learned the Chasaron was in the Maisa Nesina, so then you didn't have a good Maisa Nesina. So if she'd walk over and pick up the get, it would be Tliki Dech Magah Bekarka. That's the way I would learn. He doesn't say that to Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel says, V'hatam hu, k'meshikas b'sar mechashim da'oz ein haget b'yaday. He says differently. He doesn't say like me. I would have liked him to say like me, to say that this shayla about how to learn the Gemara, is it a chasar in Krisis or is it a chasar in Nesina, should be telling this shayla. If it was a chasar in Nesina, you have to make a new Maisa Nesina. If it's a chasar in Krisis, you don't. But he says no, he doesn't think that's the lumnus. He thinks the lumnus is, b'shem da'oz ein haget b'yaday. Because then the get wasn't as... Again, I'm not sure what he means by these words anyways. You know, I'm not sure what he means. But yeah, I'm not clear what he means. I wish he would have wrote something else. The oz ain't a get biyadeh. I'm not sure what he means by that. But I think that this chakira should be told in this shayla. Okay.
Why do we care if it's a dizzy and it's a purple?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Unless he means that at the time of the giving, that passed it also. What he means to say is that even at the time of the giving, it was also no good because he was already attached to that. Okay. So now let's try to understand this Gemara a little better. What exactly is this Chasaron called Agud Gabe? So let's just go back a little Chazar. We had a Gemara in Daf Ayin Zayin. The Gemara told us a story about a Shchiv Mirah. The guy wanted to divorce his wife. It was Shabbos. The get was sitting in his drawer at home, and there was no way to get the get to the Isha. So we had to scramble to come up with a way to get this lady divorced. So Rava came up with the following idea: let the Isha go over and make a kinyan on the place where the get was munach. That was the story of the Gemara. Let her go over to the drawer, the house where the get was. Let her make a ma'aseh kinyan, and she'll get the get. There was a huge machlokes with Rishonim about how this all worked. Ruba the Ruba of Rishonim learned it was kinyan chatzer. She'll make a kinyan on the chatzer. She'll own the chatzer, and by owning the chatzer, she'll own the get as well. That was the kasha, that the get was there earlier. That was the problem. Rashi, a minority opinion, learned a whole different shot in the Gemara. Rashi learned what happened over there was it was kinyan agav. What happened was it shall be kinyan the piece of property, and when you kinyan property agav, you get the get as well. One of the main kasha that Rishonim had on Rashi was, is if that's the case, why did she have to be kinyan the place where the get was? She could have been kinyan any property that the husband owned. The halacha is ena b'inan sibur. In order for kinyan agav to work, you don't need to be makna her the karka with the metaltim piled on it. You could be makna her a piece of karka in New York, and she'll be kinyan metaltim in L.A. You don't need sibur, the Gemara said in Kiddushin. So why was Rav so particular that she has to bedavka be kinyan the place where the get is? Why? Let her be kinyan any property the husband owned, and she'll get the get automatically through kinyan agav. That's what we're going to talk about in a second. Where's the nesina over here? So this was the bomb kash that all the Rishonim had on Rashi. So the Ktzois, we mentioned this Ktzois back then, we'll mention it again. The Ktzois comes to defend Rashi. He wants to say, what was Rashi thinking? Rashi knew this. Why was Rashi learning Kinyan Agav if for Kinyan Agav you don't need to be kind of the actual place where the get is rested? Says the Ktzois, I'll tell you Pshan Rashi. Says the Ktzois, Afal Gav de Rav Matar Chatzah Kamar, Liashiv Divi Rashi. Says the Ktzois, I want to answer up for Rashi. De Be'inan Krisos Veleko. Do you know why Rashi said you need to do Kinyan Agav? Because if she would buy, would acquire one of the husband's properties in another place, and the get would be sitting in the husband's drawer, which is still the husband's drawer, but she would own the get, that would be chesaron in krisos. Says the Ktzais, mevur nira lefimad isim perikam the momentzia. He quotes our Gemara. Hai sidri command the pasuk domi parchalam. All this time goes through the whole Gemara, and he says you need krisos velek. Umevur left column says the Ktzais. The gabi get avagav the kvar konsa haget. You see from our Gemara, she owns the get. Halachically speaking, she owns the get. V'haget biyada, or command the pasuk, alf nesina. We look at the get as if the husband's hands are chopped off. It's just sitting in her hands. Nonetheless, elu shiyochlo natko levi etzlei akati ogot rabbe, v'levi krisis. V'im kein, says the Ktzois, ilu havi makne lo duchta achrina. V'haget ba'agav, if what you would have done over here was, told the isha, you'll own the get that's sitting in his drawer, he'll own the drawer, he'll own the house, you'll own another property of his, and you'll get the get through kinyan agav. Says the Ktzois, Rashi would tell you that's not a good get. Why? Kivin da get b'rushusoy b'chatzeri, since the get's sitting in his possession, im kein havali ogut gabe. That would be deemed ogut gabe. Do haget b'rushusoy? Because it gets sitting in his possession. Ubi'inan krisus v'leka. Therefore, says the Ktzois, that's why Rashi learned that he gifted her the area where the get is. So now the drawer that has the get is his area, and the husband has no sheiches. It's hers, and the husband has no sheiches.
Some of them seemed to say it was the actual string.
So there's a lot over here. But we have to digest this Ktzois, because this is a very problematic Ktzois. No, over there we're talking about regular buying and selling. If I want to give you, I want to sell you property, and I want to sell you metaltalin, I can do two things separately. But over here, says the Ktzois, we had a bigger problem. Over here, if we would do that, in the Al-Tzchoshimish, but that would work. If I wanted to sell her a piece of property and I wanted to give her an item, it would be fine. But over here, what would happen, says the Ktzois?
She would own
the get, and the get would be sitting in my drawer. In my house, says the Ktzois, Ogud Gabe. That's Mamish, the Gemara by us called Ogud Gabe. Now you have to ask yourself, you say, really? That's Ogud Gabe. Ogud Gabe Pashtus means where the husband's in the control. Now, yeah, obviously the husband could walk into his drawer and take her get, and he'd be considered stealing. Right. And the husband could also walk into her house and take the get from her house.
But he could prevent her from getting her get. It's his property.
But it's too late. She already owns it. She owns the actual get. That was, again.
She doesn't have control over it. She can prevent her from actually.
So the Ktzois is learning our Gemara of Ogud Gabe beyond the Gemara. He's saying that when the Gemara talks about a string, it's lav dafka string. It's any case where the husband has the control, the power of access or deny access to the get, that's called Agud Gabe.
Regardless of whether she owns it or not.
Right, and she does own it. Right. That Faith points it out.
So
she would own the get.
That never works for get.
Unless the area, you give her the area as well. So that's why the Gemara has... So then you always have, it's almost like chatzah, right? It's very strange. Because he learned it would be included in our Gemara by us of Krisus.
So
that's what we need to figure out now. How does the Ktzois learning in Rashi, keep in mind it's Rashi because that's going to make things more complicated, he's learning all this in Rashi. The reason why Rashi learned the Gemara the way he did, that it was agav, and specifically not regular agav, it was agav with a different piece of property, because if with the same piece of property, which is not necessarily required, if it would have been with a different piece of property, Rashi said the get would have been no good. Why? Because since the husband controlled the area, again, he writes this clearly, this is not a question of ownership of the get. She is completely, 100% the owner of the get, halachically speaking. No question. But still, since the get and his rishus, that would be a breach in Agud Gabe. Now this is obviously a very big chiddush. This is not, we wouldn't have made this conclusion from the Gemara that we just learned a few minutes ago. We wouldn't have said based on the string. The string case is very different. Why? Because in the string case, he's holding on to the control of it. He's not controlling the get. It happens to be in his rishus. The guy's dying in another room, right? It's not like he's getting up and stealing the get. It's just the fact that it's in my rishus and not your rishus. And not your rishus. That's Agud Gabe. So the stipler
says you don't have to own it. You don't even have to make a kingdom.
That's true. The Ketzai has another piece in Rashi where he holds, you don't even have to make a Maisikim, you have to make an Asina L'Rishusa. He'll argue that over here, this is not considered her Rishus because it's his Rishus. He owns the area. The drawer is his. Where you put the get was his. So the disciple is very bothered. Says the disciple, the Ketzai is so good, what will the other Rishonim thinking? Now the Ketzai says the disciple, the Ketzai is so geschmack that Rashi is so understandable. What was everyone else asking Kashas than Rashi? All the Rishonim. We mentioned this, all the Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban, they all ask, why does Rashi say you need to be makna the place where the get is? Agav doesn't need Tziburin. Everyone came with the same Kash. And most Rishonim rejected Rashi for this reason. Says the stipler, one second, the Tzais is so geshmak. He makes Rashi so beautiful, so why is everyone so troubled? So we would have said, what do you mean, fakert? Rashi is the troubling one, right? So the stipler writes over here in piece of number 13, he writes, Ubedas shar harishonim sheikshu. Lomeli davka hudochta. In fact, the stipler, if after you see the ktsois, you have to ask yourself, so what were all the other Rishonim so troubled with when they saw Rashi? So he says, Niri de sarvi de davka bahi de get biyodu mshich biyodu da gida lukof hamigarish ain't ze krisis. Says the stipler not so fast. The other Rishonim had a fundamental machoikish Rishonim over here. How do you learn Ogud Gabe? Is Ogud Gabe the fact that I have access to the get? Or if I'm directly connected to the get? Meaning,
physical connection.
Some of the words here, I'm not sure exactly what the stipend means. He talks about two different types of words. He talks about da'agide leguf hamigarish. And then he talks about the end of the way I understand the stipler is that they're not exactly the same cases. When I give the get holding onto the string, so from the beginning till the end, I am directly connected and controlling this get. When I put the get in my drawer, I'm not controlling the get. I could, if I want, I could get up and stop you. But there's not a direct connection to me and the get initially.
There's no connection.
Yes, you do. Because any minute you can pull it back. If it's a thin string, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about a case where you control the power. So he says this word over here, da'agida l'guf ha'megarish. By the case of the string, I am holding on to this get. I'm holding on to a piece of the get. The case of Rashi, I'm not holding on to the get. I'm in another room. I could get up from my bed and walk over to the room.
And
it would be Geneva. It would be a problem, so that's different. So clearly, the stipler is opening us up to an idea that the Ktsais' way of understanding Ogud Gabe is not necessarily the Muskim way of understanding it. Ogud Gabe is more when you're directly holding on to something as opposed to secondary. Yeah, the husband could break into her house in the middle of the night and steal the get. No, that's not going to be Chasar and Ogud Gabe.
Maybe that's the difference. The fact that you have the physical ability to take it, right?
Yeah.
And it would be Geneva.
100%.
That doesn't change the fact that it still hurts.
Right.
Whereas if you're still holding on to the string, it wouldn't be Geneva because you still are holding on to it. It's still partially yours.
So part of this Machloikis we're showing him sounds like should be told in the Chakir we started off with. Is it a Chasar in the Nesina or is it a Chasar in the Krisis? If you learn like Rashi's world, right? According to Rashi, what would you say? What's the Chasar over here? The Chasar over here, Rashi says it would be Agud Gabe. What's the Agud Gabe? When I gave it over to her, there was the best Nesina in the world. There was no one here. But Krisis is not about the Nesina. Krisis means that the get is connected. I'm still connected to the fact that I can walk in and get it. As opposed to the other Mishayna might have learned that the Chasarin is in the Maisa Nesina. And in this case, there was nothing wrong with the Maisa Nesina. I made a beautiful Maisa Nesina.
In the drawer.
However that works. So, Blineder, next week we'll talk more about that. Then we'll talk about Yushalmi. And then we'll try to understand exactly what the Chasarin and Agud Gabe is.